Is there something in your way? A battle you can't win? Do you struggle day to day with thoughts of giving in? There's no reason for despair. Has walked this way before, with compassion flowing free. He's there for you and me. That's what grace is for. When all hope fades away, in faith and know He's already heard. He'll mend your wounded heart. Peace He will restore. His arms are open wide. Walk through mercy's door. That's what grace is for. When the answer just won't come, and your soul cannot be still, when it's all been said and done, rest in the Father's will. There's a multitude of sins covered by the blood that poured, blood that cleanses every stain so that none remains. That's what grace is for. When all hope fades away, just reach out in faith and know He's already heard. He'll mend your wounded heart. Peace He will restore. His arms are open wide. Walk through mercy's door. That's what grace is for. His arms are open wide. Walk through mercy's door. That's what grace is for. That's what grace is for.
Julius, that was wonderful. Thank you. Beautifully done. You want to know, you want a story of grace? Her parents were headed to divorce. And Omar came to the Spanish Family Conference and got saved. Told Abraham, Brother Cardin is, my wife and I are, she's going to get divorce papers. But they went and got her, and then Juana got saved. And now Elizabeth, and then Eileen. How old was Eileen when she died? 9? 8. 8 years of age. You remember, we had Eileen's sister, her sister's funeral right here in this auditorium. Died of cancer some years ago. But I just couldn't help. Boy, oh boy. Thinking about that story while she was singing that song. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you, Elizabeth. It was great. Brother, we're glad you're here. Amen. Come speak to us today.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Angel. I'm so glad to be here and thankful for Brother Angel. He's been such he's, you know, pastors need a pastor too. And I've always considered Brother Angel since I've been here. He's always been so kind. He's always always just a phone call away. It's always been such an encouragement and help. We've talked on the phone. We've prayed together, cried together, and he's been such an encouragement and help to me. And I'm glad to have my wife and my daughters surprise me. They came here tonight. And we have 6 children total. We have one in California. Our oldest is a boy. And then we have our 2 girls that are in college and one getting ready to go to college, a girl. And then we have 2 younger boys. One's 14, one's 11. And the 14-year-old is right now and his voice is changing. So it kind of cracks all the time. And I'm kind of worried about myself doing that tonight. Sounding like a 14-year-old up here. My voice cracking. But I'm so glad to be here, so thankful for the opportunity to be able to preach here, and thankful for Brother Angel and his dear wife took us out tonight, and always so special. Every time I come here, everybody's so friendly, and such a wonderful place to be. And thank you for being here tonight in this blustery weather. I never know how it's going to be when you have weather like this. You don't know if preachers are always nervous about bad weather with special speakers. But thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for being in the Lord's house, and what a pleasure it is to be here with you. Please take your Bibles and turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 5. If you stand with me, if you would, we'll see, just read a few verses, and I'll have you be seated. And I just want to be an encouragement to you as a church, and encouragement to your preacher, and in any way I can. And I pray that this will be Acts chapter 5, of course, Moses and some transition periods going on here, and some different things are being done within the children of Israel's lives. A big change. You imagine being in under bondage for over 430 years and having an instantaneous change. we look at this and it happens in an instance in our eyes, but it happened over a long period in their lives. Some of these people have been in there for 70, 80 years in bondage. And now everything is going to change. All the things that they had been accustomed to, used to, gone. And sometimes we look at them, how could they be so foolish? But they had lived for so long in a certain way. I don't like when my toothbrush is not in the same spot. You know. And so we got to give them a break sometimes. But go down to verse number 15, and I'm just going to read down to the end of the chapter. Notice what the Bible says here. It says, "And the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, Wherefore dealest thou thus with thy servants? There is no straw given unto thy servants, and they say to us, Make brick. And behold, thy servants are beaten. But the fault is thine own people. But he said, Ye are idle, ye are idle. Therefore ye say, Let us go and do sacrifice to the Lord." Moses had already come to Pharaoh, and Aaron asked, "Let my people go." I know Hollywood's trying to train us that it was Moses, but Aaron actually said that to him. And notice what it goes on. He says, Go therefore now and work, for there shall no straw be given you, yet ye shall deliver the tale of the bricks. And the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in an evil case, after it was said, Ye shall not minish aught from your bricks of your daily task. And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way, and as they came forth from Pharaoh, and they said unto them, The Lord look upon you and judge, because ye have made our Savior to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. I want to take this passage here in some of chapter 6, and I just want to preach a simple message to you and keep going. Amen. Keep going. Keep going. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I praise you and thank you for your goodness. And I thank you for we read these Bible stories and we see men that just didn't quit. They kept going. They faced adversity, but they kept going. They faced challenges and trials and tests, but they kept going. And I pray, Father, tonight that you would help us all, Father, to remember that you are still in control. And, Father, there's nothing too hard for you. And I pray, Father, that you would speak to each and every one of our hearts. Help us, Father, to glorify, to honor you in everything that we say and do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. James Cass Penney, who started J.C. Penney Stores, made some very unwise commitments early on. You wouldn't think he made some wise investments we know in the future, but early on he made some very unwise commitments, and he became very depressed because of those commitments. He worried so much that he developed shingles in his life. He went to see his doctor, who admitted him to the hospital, but his condition only became worse through these circumstances. And one night was prescribed a sedative that quickly wore off. And he awoke believing that he would die that night. And he wrote letters to his family and he fell back asleep. He woke up the next morning and was surprised that he was still alive. And he heard people singing in the hospital, in the little chapel there, "God will take care of you. God will take care of you." And he went in and he listened to the singing and the message with a heavy heart. But then something happened in his life. He later said this in his memoir, "I realized then that alone I was responsible for my troubles. I knew that God with His love was there to help me." He said from that day forward, his life was free of worry. And it was all because he realized that God would take care of him. And I think that we come to the place here in the life of Moses. And Moses, first of all, he tried to deal with the situation of Israel being in Egypt his own way. You remember 40 years prior to this moment, he found an Egyptian and an Israelite striving together. He killed the Egyptian, buried him in the sand. He thought that he could force his way through life. He thought that he could somehow, if he showed his strength and his prowess and his abilities, that somehow that might be enough to get the children of Israel out of Egypt. But God said that's not enough. And he had to run and he hide. And he lived on the backside of a desert for 40 years. For 40 years. I think about that. You know, the Bible, Paul talks so much about dying to self. I wonder if we could go back to that desert, and that backside of that desert, and see how many graves he had to dig of his own life. I think to myself, Paul said, "I die daily." 40 years. That's a lot of graves to dig. And you know, what so often is the problems that we mostly face in life is because we don't die to self. Our self is very alive and wants to have control of everything. It causes 90% of our problems. But Moses here comes to this, faces his task. Now he's facing a new reality. He's decided that this life should not be lived by force, but it should be lived by faith. And now he has a different attitude about it. He has a different way that he approaches here as he approaches the children of Israel. And there are some difficult things that are happening right here in his life, but those trials are going to come. Now, we see them quickly bypassed, but you have to imagine being in them, they're very difficult. Man, I'm hearing about people tonight in your own in your prayer letter and struggling with cancer and physical needs and someone on the mission field for 47 years losing their spouse and everything changing in an instant. You know, you have a fall, your song leader, a fall, and everything changes in an instant. And you're going to have things that are going to come along. But my message tonight, just as it was for Moses to God telling him, just keep going. Just keep going. We live in a day of trouble and sorrow on every hand. But God is still in the same place He's always been. Behold, I am the Lord. I change not. I don't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you never have to wonder if the Lord is going to change. We change. We change. We change like the weather changes. But praise the Lord that the Lord never changes. I'm glad He doesn't wake up on the wrong side of the bed, aren't you? That the Lord, we can always count on Him. And Moses, as he comes here in this particular place, as we get down into verse number 20, we see him come to this crossroad, and he comes upon his people. These are the people that God has told him to come and to deliver, to bring them out of Egypt, bring them out of bondage. And they don't see it exactly like the way that Moses sees it. And they've got a little bit different stance upon this thing after they've just come from Pharaoh. Pharaoh's told them, you know what, you're going to make the brick, and here's how you're going to make the brick. We used to give you the supplies for these bricks. Now you're not getting them anymore. Go find them yourself. Go out there and get them. You're idle. You're sitting around doing nothing. Go do it yourself if you have so much time on your hands. In other words, he is mocking the children of Israel. And in so doing, Moses comes along the scene. Moses is, you know, he's got, the Lord has given him this command, and he knows what's before him. He knows what's supposed to happen. He knows how he's supposed to partake of it. But then he hits a little bit of a roadblock. Things slow down a little bit. Where his chest was a little out and he was a little encouraged, a little strengthened. After all, we know that Moses did try everything he could possibly to get out of doing this in the first place. He did not want to do it. And that's a sign often of a good leader. A good leader usually does not want to be the leader, but just does it. And Moses is no different. And he's called to lead his people. And he knows that that God's got plans for their lives, and he wants to help them to be able to meet that thing. And but immediately he's faced with this obstacle, this trial here. And so many times we set out on the course to do what's right, and then comes Satan, and he reminds us how unprepared we are for whatever task it might be. Because God wants us to make sure that we're always reliant upon him. He doesn't need our self-reliance. See, if it was about anything about any of us, we'd be in a heap of problems. I have found when God called my family, we came up to Oswego. I'd never heard of Oswego, Illinois, ever in my life. I'd never heard of Bourbonnais. I'd never heard. Oh, I would have thought it was Bourbonus if you'd asked me. I wouldn't have known. The only thing I knew about Chicago, I came here in the 80s for not Bible college, for the Navy, and I was stationed in Great Lakes when I was just 18 years of age, and I didn't know nothing. I never had a burden for Oswego, Illinois. And I mean, you think about it. Everybody thinks, well, you don't have a burden, you can't go there. Well, tell that to Jonah. Jonah didn't have a burden. He just did. You know what? We get too much caught up in that. Let me tell you something. We just need to do what we're commanded to of God. And stop looking for our own wishes and our own whims and what we want to go off of. Exactly what Jonah had to face and some different things. We just need to be obedient unto God. You know what? God, after time, you know, when we came here, our love grew for this area, grew for the people in the city, the people in the church, and reaching people, and it's been the most wonderful journey. We knew exactly where God wanted us to be. There was no doubts in our hearts, but I never knew about this area. And Moses here, he's got this, he's been commanded by God to come in here and to do the work that he's been called to do. There's distractions, there's going to be some obstacles he's going to face, but he is coming in here to do what God wanted him to do. And so, when we look at ourselves and we look at the things and how inadequate we are, when I think about pastoring or preaching and all those, I'm an introverted person. I am not an outgoing person. I'm not the type of guy that, you know, I have to really come out of my shell in order to be able to speak to people and to do those things. The last thing I ever thought I was ever going to be was a preacher. The first time I ever publicly spoke was in secular college, and I had to give a speech. And I gave a speech, and I remember sitting in the parking lot, and literally I thought my palms had water coming out of them because I was so nervous about getting up and speaking. I never thought that that would be the case. But you know what? I just learned that it's not about me. It's about what God wants to do. And every time I've rested upon those things, it's taking care of the situation. And I think that's what Moses took a step back through these situations. And he's decided that, listen, this is what God wants. It doesn't matter what Pharaoh wants. And it doesn't matter sometimes, and the children of Israel are not exactly understanding what they need. And so he's trying to help them to come to see what God wants for their lives. And many times people have problems trusting God when it comes to the difficult times. But sometimes people have problems trusting God in the good times. Success sometimes is the biggest failure of people that there could possibly be. Sometimes maybe getting a raise, maybe getting more hours and these different things, maybe it's not always the best thing. I've always prayed to God. You know, people say, you know, all the time, man, give me $1 million. Well, if that's what God wanted, I would take it. But if God didn't want that, if it was going to ruin me, why would I want that? We think of all these people that when they play the lottery, he that hastens to be rich shall not be innocent. And those that do those kind of things, and their lives are ruined. They have books written about people's lives that are ruined, about success. So it's very important for us is to make sure that when we're facing these situations like Moses is, and we're going to look right at it particularly, but that we take it and we face it, trusting God to get us through whatever the situation might be. So look at it again. Look at in chapter number 5. I want you to know, first of all, we'll get right into this. I want you to know the present condition that they were facing. They were facing some conditions, and you know what? That's why the rubber meets the road. It applies right here because we're all living in the present. Aren't you God, the God of heaven is the God of the God of the present? Not just the God of the past or the God of the future. He's the God of the present. And your salvation, that when you got saved and you got all of God, and so wonderful to know. But we look at some of these things. Verse number 19, I just want to point out a few things here. And the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in an evil case after it was said, ye shall not minish aught from your bricks of your daily task. So they're immediately faced with the trial here that we see in their lives. And not like in any other person here. How many people raised their hands? How many people had unspoken requests and a bulletin full? We had a bulletin full of requests tonight of trials, tests that people are going through. Each and every person here has something that's on their heart. And each and every person here has something that you're facing or you're going through. And so the present condition, we can see in a lot of us, we can relate to this, the trials that we go through. And Moses was facing a trial. They had faced some things. There was an evil case put before them. And then notice, I want you to see in verse number 20, I want you to see who their target was. See, it wasn't God, but look at who the target was. And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said unto them, the Lord look upon you and judge, because ye have made our Savior to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. Wait a minute, back up. I thought it was God that sent Moses and Aaron to go do this work. But you know who their target is? And oftentimes becomes the case, your preacher. Preachers in general, a lot of times become the target. Just because the leader. Everything. Lee Robertson said, everything rises and falls on leadership. You don't escape it. You don't run away from it. You have to accept it. And Moses, no doubt, was facing this thing, thinking to himself, well, God sent me to do this work. And that's what kept him going. See, if it would have been any other thing, if he'd have been a fly by the night, if it would have just been up to Moses, he would have quit. But he didn't quit. And that's why your preacher's been here for 27 years. And that's why you can keep going, and that's why, but not just him, but each and every person has the ability and the opportunity to keep going, because you know you're doing what God wants you to do when you face those trials, and you see the target, but we also see his trouble. Look at verse number 22, and Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? Here's Moses' trouble that he has. He's looking inward on this. For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. And our trouble is the same trouble that Moses faces right here. Moses is at a crossroad. This trial that he faces, the target that he's facing, is coming heavy upon him. We know that it was heavy upon Moses. And the greatest thing about Moses is what he did every time a trial faced him. You're going to find him over and over again on his face, on his face, on his face. You just read about it over and over. You should highlight that every time you see that in the Bible. He had the trouble is the same that we deal with today. It's faith, trusting God to do what he said he's going to do. And we have to have the faith that in order for us to trust God. Faith is the key that unlocks so many things in our life. I think about those that have gone on before that we read about in the Bible. And I think about Enoch. You know how Enoch walked with God? He walked with God because he had faith in God. He trusted God. You know how Noah built an ark for 120 years with people mocking him, probably ridiculing him? He did it because he had faith in God. And he kept that way. How did Abraham go out of the Ur of the Chaldees all by himself with his family and left there and no one else with him? How did he do that? He did it by faith. How did Jacob deal with his father-in-law and being manipulated and the different discouragements that he went through? How did Jacob do it? He did it by faith. How did Joseph go into a prison, lied about, slandered about, someone to ruin his reputation than to sit in there and the baker and the butler to forget him when they brought him out. How did he stay in there? He stayed in there by faith. It's the same thing. How did Job go through the trials that he went through? Loss of his family, loss of his health, loss of his wealth, all of that gone. All of it was gone. He did it by faith. How did Joshua go around the walls of Jericho and circle around those walls? He did it by the same way. He did it by faith. How did Gideon go up against the Midianites with 300 men against 100,000 Midianites? How did he do it? He did it by faith. How did Naomi, after her family had died there in Moab, how did she go back to Israel? How did she go back to Jerusalem? How did she go back there with Ruth? How did she do it? She did it by faith. She did it the same way. How did David fight a giant named Goliath? He did it by faith. How did Jehoshaphat, when he went up against the armies of Ammon and Moab, and thought that there was no way the battle could be won, he trusted God and he did it by faith. How did Daniel go into the lion's den? By faith. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, no different. They did it by faith. I think about Esther going in before the king and holding out. If he didn't hold out the golden scepter, she would die. But yet, she said, for such a time as this, Mordecai said. And she went in there and she did it by faith. I think of Hezekiah when he was Sennacherib came and they posted the men came and railed against the God of Israel. And Hezekiah had to lay out those letters from Sennacherib saying, if you think that you're going to get away from this thing and not die, you are well out of your range of thinking there, Hezekiah. You will die, just like all the other countries have had. And you know what? Hezekiah went forward. He did it by faith. Just as every one of these people have. Elijah made it through the drought by the brook Cherith. And he was there. And God sustained him. Then brought him to a widow. And she sustained him for that period of time. And for 3.5 years, he lived by faith. And the same thing, Jeremiah let down into the mire, and he lived that life and lamentations and all that went with Jeremiah. He did it by faith. I think about Mary and Joseph and having a child and the uncertainty in their minds and all the different things that they had to go through. But they did it by faith. I think about Peter when he was strengthening the brethren and Peter being such a headstrong guy. He would be the first one at the tomb. He would be the first one to say something. He would be the first one to chop someone's ear off. And but in the end, Peter was a man who lived by faith. And we think about Paul and we think about the great missionary Paul and being stoned and all the different, the shipwrecked and all the different things he listed them for us. And he did all those things by faith. I think about Onesimus returning to his master after he had been away from him illegally. And now he comes back to his master. How could he do that? He did it by faith. And I think about John sitting on the Isle of Patmos. His life in shambles, so he thinks. And God's getting ready to do something amazing in his life. He uses him amazingly. And we see his life, and he did it by faith. You know what, each and every person here, you know what, I said all those people, but you know what, they got up every day just like you did. They faced difficulties like you did. They faced trials like you did. But you know what, just as they could go on by faith, so can you. You have the same exact God that they had. There's no different God from the God that we read about in here that's not the same one we didn't just pray to a few moments ago. Think about that. The throne room of heaven was open and you entered into there just as Daniel did, just as Esther did, just as Hezekiah did. We have the same access. Don't ever underestimate that. And we have, under the present conditions that we live, we have a wonderful God that we can always go to. I want you to continue on. Look at chapter number 6. I want you to know that there's also, when we think about keeping going, I think about painful continuance. Sometimes you've got to continue on. I've called it like this. Sometimes you have to work in autopilot. You ever had that in your life? Where you're going through something and you just kind of, you got to keep going. You know if you stop, it's not going to be good. You can't get away from it. Listen, friend, if there's one thing I've learned in this Christian life and as pastoring, and listen, without this, you are going to struggle so immensely without this book. You have to have this book each and every day. Pastor, man, you always preach about reading the Bible. I know, because it's something we always have to do. It is always. And to me, that's not painful. But I think about life. You have to continue through certain circumstances in life. Look at what it says in verse number 1 of chapter number 6. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And so God's beginning to tell them some different things here. He's reminding Moses of who he is. And he says here in verse number 1 and verses 2 and 3, he talks about reminders, about how he's reminding them about who he is and what his job was to do. Sometimes, you know, that's what reading the Bible is every day. It's just a reminder of what we need to do. Sometimes we can get so disillusioned. I mean, you've been there. If you've missed your Bible reading, you've missed your time with God. And I've always said it like this. I'm a checklist type of person. That's just the type of guy I am. I checklist everything off. And you may do that too. But I have learned that it's more than a checklist. You know, I'm afraid. Here's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of missing the meeting with God every day. Not just my Bible reading and my prayer time. I'm afraid of missing the meeting that I have with God each day. It's such an important time of my life. I went to, when I was in Bible college, I was a married student. And I had 5 kids when I went to Bible college. I wanted to be a little tougher so my kids can never say it was harder on them than it was on me. And so I had 5 kids, and we had a 6th while I was in Bible college when I got my master's degree. And I just remember one of the things that I determined when I went to Bible college that I was never going to allow my personal devotion time to ever slip. I didn't want it to happen. And I remember I had a friend in Bible college. He's from George Covington, Georgia, and a good friend of mine. And I remember one day we were talking about personal devotional time. And he says, man, I don't have no time. I have to read. I'm reading the Old Testament, the New Testament, and they're reading Testaments I don't even know about. And he says, I'm reading everything. I don't have no time for that. And I told him, I warned him, listen, friend, I said, if you don't, you're going to hurt yourself. And sure enough, he got away from those things and his life went and it just spiraled downhill. You got to be so careful not to get away from the things that get us there. You know, there are going to be times in your life where you just have to keep going and you have to keep moving forward. It may seem like you're not going to make it. It may seem like you're, and you know what? That's why God gave you His Word, so He could remind you that He's still in charge, that He's still in control, that He still wants to take care of you, He still wants to meet your need. And so we see about this reminder of what God gives us to, but we also see God's righteousness. God's righteousness. Look at verse number 2. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known. Jehovah is the covenant-keeping God of Israel. And I was not known them. So God reminds them of his, not only this gives them this reminder, but he tells them that he's righteous. Listen, God doesn't, he says what I'm saying here is, I haven't changed. Listen, I'm taking you back. Listen, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, this is a long time ago. Our country's been in existence for 200 and we're going to come up in 220 something on 250 years. Children of Israel, think about this. You got to think about this in scope. They spent over 430 years in captivity. They were in Egypt for 430 years. Our country is not even close to that. And so when you think about it in that regard, you think about him. He's saying, I've not changed. I've been the same God for Israel as I've always been. Israel's changed. But I haven't changed. I've always been in the same place. I think about Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. So again, God's mercy, his compassion. I think about John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. And so we need to sometimes be reminded about, reminded that we must continue on because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know, it's not the fact that we need, that God needs for us to know, but He gives us these glimpses all throughout His Word to help us, that we can continue on. Because there will be struggles and there will be hard times. And the road will not always be smooth, but the destination is always glorious. It's always that way. I think about it living in here. I'm originally from California. I'm not from this area. I tell people all the time I was born in the South, Southern California. And they don't like that, but I was born in Southern California in the Cedars of Lebanon Hospital in the City of Angels. It sounds pretty glorious, doesn't it? And but I remember when we came out here, I noticed there was a lot more road construction out here in this particular part of the country than I was used to in California. Everything's sunny skies in California. You know, they don't have to, you know, the roads don't buckle. They don't, it just stays pretty much the same all the time. It just ages after a period of time. But it was a lot different. But I noticed out here, it's a consistent pattern of road construction no matter where you're at. Everything falls apart out here. And it's amazing. But I think I kind of relate that to life a lot. Because what people want, oftentimes when they look at quote-unquote Christianity, and I say that loosely, but when they think about religion in general, they think that they just want to have their problems disappear. They think that, man, if I do this, if I say this, or I pray this, or whatever, that somehow my problems are going to be gone. That would be like saying that you're going to drive tomorrow somewhere in Chicago with no road construction. It's just not going to happen. And so I've kind of looked at it like that. You've got to have road construction to have smooth roads. You have to have road construction if you want those. People will say to you, you know, I remember when our kids were little, we would take them into places and people would come up and say, how do you keep your kids so well behaved? I said, well, we discipline them. I mean, you have to. And today you go to places and people don't discipline their kids. They don't tell them no. No, Johnny, no, you can't have that. No, you can't have that. Okay, here you go. And we see children that are so confused, they don't know what to think. They're trained that way. I used to think, boy, give me that kid for 5 minutes. But you know what? I've reconsidered that, Brother Angel. I reconsider it. You know, I think, give me the parent for 5 minutes. Forget the kid. The parent is often the ones that are the problem with the child. It's not the child. The child would do fine if he had the right guidance. And the same thing it is with us as children of God, too. We sometimes just need to follow the Father. And we need to understand that everything isn't just going to be smooth roads. There's going to be some road construction to get there. We're going to have to go through some times where we have to yield. We're going to have to slow down a little bit so God can teach us something. So God can move in our hearts. Just like He was doing here with Moses. Oh, could He have just taken the children of Israel, just taken them and put them out and supplied all their needs and all that things would be done? But that's not God's plan. God has a plan and it's so much better than ours. He had to teach them some things. He had to teach Moses some things. He had to teach Aaron some things. He had to teach the children of Israel. He was preparing a man named Joshua to lead the people. And you know what? God's trying to do something. Don't overlook the times of road construction in your life. Don't overlook them. You've got to just continue on. You got to keep going. Why? Because here it is. It all rolls down to this. It comes down to a promise, confidence that God gives. Look at verse number 5 in chapter number 6. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into a land concerning the which I did swear to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it to you for a heritage. I am the Lord. So God here is, listen, He's just instilling confidence, saying, listen, just keep going. You know what? If it had been up to the children of Israel at this point, where would they be? Right back in bondage. What they've been crying to get out of. It's kind of like our society today, isn't it? We have people today, God, give me a job. God, give me a job. I've got to have a job. And they get the job, and the first thing they're doing is complaining about the job that they have. Man, I can't believe this job. They want me to work 8 hours. This is ridiculous. I didn't have to do that before. And that's what God is trying to help them to see. Listen, this is the confidence that He wants to put in their hearts as their children. He wants them to know, I haven't forgotten you. Listen, I know you're going through something right now, but don't forget that I haven't forgotten you. He just wonders if we've forgotten Him. We so many times turn away from Him. I want you to know that God says, I haven't forgotten you. I heard the groaning of the children of Israel. I haven't forgotten you, people. I haven't forgotten that I loved you, that I loved you with an everlasting love. I've not loved you because you were the mightiest or the biggest. I loved you because you were the weakest. And I wanted to meet your needs. I wanted to take care of you. Sometimes we think that we have to offer God all our might. God, His strength is made perfect in your weakness. And He wants to do something in your heart. He also reminds them that He's a faithful God. In verse number 7, He tells them about how faithful He will be to them. He'll bring them out under the burdens. And God, we can be fulfilled with what it says in verse number 8, and I will bring you into the land. I like that. God says, I'll bring you into the land. I'll do it all. I'll meet your needs. I just need you to trust me. And so much of what our lives comes down to is trusting Him. It's about keeping going. You don't know what's ahead of you. And the only answer to our problems is the Lord Himself. It reminds me of the man who stopped to watch a Little League baseball game, and he asked one of the youngsters what the score was. He says, we're losing 18-0. And he said, well, said the man, I must say you don't look a bit discouraged. And he says, discouraged? The boy looked at him puzzled. He says, why should I be discouraged? We haven't even come up to bat yet. We have to keep going. And just as sometimes we might look at a situation, we may not think it's the way that we want it to be. We may not think that the family situation, the health situation, the financial situation is the way that we want to be. We have to keep going. Because when we keep going, God can do great things if we'll trust Him. Just like Hezekiah trusted Him. And we have to all learn to trust Him. What a great God we have. His ways are unsearchable. I think about the benefits of God and what He offers to us as His people. And I was just reading in Psalm 103 the other day about the benefits of God. What a blessing it is. Daily He loadeth us with benefits. Daily. And well, I don't have such and such, or I don't have this. Listen, friend, just keep going. There's something around the corner that you don't even know is there. I wonder how many things we're going to miss because we have got our eyes on the wrong things. And God said, boy, if you just kept your eyes on me, you would have seen what I had for you right in front of your face. But you were looking somewhere else for something else to give you fulfillment. Don't look anywhere else. You need no look no further. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And what a great God we have. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your word. And I praise you that, Father, you still here today. I'm so thankful, Father, that you just didn't hear Hezekiah, that you just didn't hear Daniel, that you didn't hear the prophets. But I'm glad that I can call on you at this very moment and stand right before your throne room tonight. And I don't know if there's a person out here that's in a trial, a circumstance right now, Father. I don't know if there's someone here that's facing some difficulty. I don't know what it is that they're facing. But, Father, you do. And I pray that you just help them to keep going. Because maybe just around the corner, maybe it is that you have something prepared for them that's past their understanding. Oh, God of heaven, help us. Help us tonight to live for you, to keep you in the forefront. Stand with me if you would. If the Lord has spoken to your heart, oh, would you just listen to Him? Would you listen to Him? For the angel.
Heads about, eyes are closed. Tremendous message. This thought will keep on going. Is that what you needed to hear tonight? Sometimes, folks, it's just around the corner. It really is. Deliverance is just around the corner. And people quit just a few feet too short. Keep going. not stepping out on nothing, stepping out on the promises of God's Word to be faithful. Ladies are playing a song of invitation. You do what the Lord wants you to do tonight. You obey Him in this matter. God spoke to you. If God honored you by coming to where you sit and spoke to you, then you respond tonight by speaking to Him.